What I'm going to be using this morning for the message is the gospel lesson for today, and I just love this gospel lesson. You know, whenever you read a piece of scripture, you know, as good Lutherans, we're looking for law and gospel. We're looking for, you know, what is it that's wrong with our lives, wrong with us? What's the sin in our lives? How can we deal with that so that we become a stronger Christian, a more confident Christian, a Christian that has more of a joy and a love for following God? Whenever we do a devotion, whenever we read Scripture, we're always looking for that. How should we die to sin, whatever that sin is in our life, and then be raised to be a new person in Christ? And so today we have a story that happens right after Jesus' resurrection, and he comes before his followers who don't yet believe. And, you know, Jesus shows them, you know, I'm not a ghost, I'm real. And then he takes a piece of broiled fish and he eats it. So, of course, the sin for today is if you don't like fish, you got a problem. No, not at all. The reason, of course, he ate the fish was to show that he's not a ghost. He's got a real physical body. He's really risen. He's risen indeed. Yeah. He's alive, he's well, and he's completing the ministry that God gave him to do. And he'll continues to do that in our favor, to be a blessing for us, even to this day. He is there as the source, the object of the forgiveness of our sins. Where the real sin and the malady and the problem of the reading for us lies today is when in the Scriptures it says, Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. You see, here's the problem. You're all closed-minded. Let's admit it. Let's all say it. I'm closed-minded. I'm closed-minded. Some of you don't like to say that, do you? Some of you feel like you're very open-minded people. You're not. Well, you are because you are in Christ. But by our very sinful nature, conceived and born into sin, we are closed-minded. There's something about the reading, though, today that has always caught me as unusual and awkward. It said, Jesus opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. Now, this is kind of late in the ministry of Jesus into which these people have been involved. I've always wondered, when Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he called some of his disciples, he didn't just open their minds then to the Scriptures, and then they wouldn't have been stumbling and bumbling throughout their life trying to figure it out. Right? Why didn't he just do it right away? Why does he have to wait until this period of time so much later? I mean, was God having fun messing with these people? No. And here's my other thought. Why doesn't he just go around now and open the minds of people to the Scripture? Like that. Every pew would be filled, wouldn't it? And all of you that are gathered here today would have no doubts or confusion about who God is and what God wants you to do. You would be without issues or problems that would bother you because you would be in Christ and have your open minds to the Scriptures, and everything would be peaches and cream. What's up with this? Why does it have to be so tough? Because you are closed-minded people. We go right back to the start. You see, God is always opening minds, especially today. The problem is you don't like your mind being opened to the Scriptures. Me neither. Me neither. You know, God had to work pretty hard. He had to, and he's still doing it, by the way. He's still working it. 56 years. Many experiences. Much time deliberating in the Scriptures. 5 years. Special teaching at the seminary. Pastors and Sunday school teachers and Christian friends and congregational members and many, many prayers. It's been a lot of work to open this closed mind. And he's still working at it. I would imagine it's much the same with you, isn't it? Isn't God still working on your head as well as your heart? Isn't he working hard to continue to call you unto Jesus so that you might be a more confident, so that you might be a stronger person in Christ? He certainly is. And that's his will for you. I have a good friend in Eau Claire that he and his wife lost their first child. And it's been a horrific situation for them. And they still celebrate his birthday every year. They've had two great boys after that, but they lost their first boy. And I can remember, you know, when I first got there visiting with him, and he sat down with me and he said, you know, I want you to know part of my story. My wife and I lost our first child. And we didn't think we were going to be able to have any more children. And it's been a very difficult thing for us. But I also want you to know that I think I'm a stronger Christian because of it. Because I need God all the more. I find that I need church all the more. And I search the Scriptures all the more for God to give me answers so I can live each day. And then he said something that I'll never forget. And some of you have said it to me too. What do people do who don't know God? How do they handle these things? And I just, to this day, would give them the same answer. I don't know. They've got a closed mind. And until God opens it, they'll never be able to figure it out. But he's opened your mind. He's opened your mind to something other people really need, the life of Jesus in their heart and in their life. My daughter does pottery. Some of you know this. She, after college, instead of going out and getting a high-paying job with her degree, decided to go over to Europe and be an apprentice to a potter. Why? I don't know, but this is her thing. She's an artist. She's artsy. And so she's been doing pottery for quite a while. She sent me a little story the other day that I'd like to tell you about a mug. A beautiful mug that was made by a potter. With beautiful colors, strong and wonderful to hold on to. The potter was teaching others about pottery and what it means to be a potter, and held up the mug before the class and said, "How many of you would like to be able to make a mug just like this and have a mug just like this?" And they all raised their hand. "Yes! Yes, we would all love to do that. We want that mug." And she began. You see those hunks of clay over there? Those brown, sticky lumps of dirt we call clay? That's where it's going to begin. We're all going to go over there, and we're going to grab a hunk of that clay. Going to grab that clay and throw it on the wheel. And it's going to go around and around and around and around until the clay is so dizzy it doesn't know what it is anymore. And while all that is going on, it's going to get pinched and poked and prodded until it becomes something other than a hunk of just clay. As it goes around and around, it'll begin to take form. Then you'll take it off of the wheel. Is the mug a mug yet? And the class says, well, no, of course not. Because the potter has to go and put it on a shelf. And it's got to sit there for 2 or 3 weeks until it dries. It'll sit there on a shelf as if it's forgotten. It'll sit there on the shelf as if nobody cares about it. It'll sit there by itself until it dries and gets ready for its next journey, the kiln, where the temperature will be great and it'll get cooked and baked in temperatures so hot it would burn your skin just to stick your hand in there for seconds. Is the mug done yet? And the class looks at the teacher. And the potter says, no. It has to come out of the kiln and cool back on the shelf as if it's been forgotten. Being through the furnace, it must cool. And so it does. After the mug is cooled, is it done and ready to be used? And the class says, well, no, we think there's something missing. And the potter says, yes. We must find the color and the glaze to use on the mug to give it its special and unique look. And you must realize that the colors and the glaze we're going to use on the mug won't come out until it takes another step. It has to go back into the kiln or the furnace. And we won't know exactly what it'll look like until it comes out. And so the glaze and the color go on the mug and it goes back into the kiln where the temperature is turned up to temperatures even higher than before. And the mug endures the heat. And after the heat, it's pulled out of the furnace. Is the mug done? No. It must cool. And after it's cooled, then finally you will find you have the mug that I have. Folks, that's our story. That's how we get an open mind. Jesus said, I must die and rise again. I must have all these experiences that I've had on earth. I must have gone through all the issues I did trying to teach the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the elders. I must go through all of their rejection. I had to deal with the issues you had in life. I had to do the teaching that you needed at the time you needed it while I was with you. I had to do those things. And then, with passion, I had to face the government and the people and be mocked. I had to be spit on. I needed to be slapped. I needed to be beaten. I needed to be led to the cross and hung there and shed my very blood and die. This needed to happen not for my sake, but for yours. And then on the third day, rise again to be here with you now. That's the only way I could open your minds. I had to endure it. I had to go through it. I had to be it for you. And in doing so, give you the power and the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to face what life throws at you until the day comes and you're called to be in glory with me forever in heaven. The shaping and the molding of God does wonderful things to God's people. If we're willing to sit back for just a moment and contemplate what he's doing in our life right now in this place as he's doing it. You, each day that you live your life, by living it and putting everything into perspective of who Christ is, and that in your own baptism, you drowned to sin and have been raised to live for him. That is the people that we are in God. Daily putting away the old man, that the new man would rise to live for him. Go in peace, my friends. Be strengthened in the Lord and know that he cares for you. And he's creating by himself, in himself, through himself, a new person in each one of you. Amen.